Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men Radio, the Liverpool podcast. Woo! From me, Paul Meachin, and that man over there, Chris Pajak from the Red Men TV. It is our Christmas special.
Hi, everyone.
It's not. Why is it special? Well, it's Christmas. We've got some crackers, and there's a few Christmas themed questions that people have sent in for.
I don't really like the crackers. They're all a little bit like, I feel like pending.
You can put them wherever you want. It's fine.
Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to concentrate.
You can turn them sideways.
Shove them straight up your candy ass.
Kickoff question this week comes from Simon Godby. Or Godby. Who knows? Who cares? You're putting together a band-aid group with current and past players, managers, and staff. Who makes it in?
Jürgen Klopp, Kenny Dalglish, Rafa Benitez, Roy Evans, Gerard Houllier, Luis Garcia, Peter Crouch, Xabi Alonso, Steven Gerrard, Jamie Carragher, Mo Salah, Alberto Moreno, Virgil van Dijk, Roberto Firmino, Fernando Torres, Luis Suarez, Sammy Hippier, Javier Mascherano, Steve McManaman, Robbie Fowler, Ian Rush, John Aldridge, John Barnes, Bruce Grobbelaar, Pepe Reina, Alisson Becker, Andy Robertson and Steve Finnan.
Who of them is the you need to have between one and like three who are current, totally of the moment, but will be nowhere near as fondly remembered in like 10 years time when you look back at it?
I'm not sure that there's three there, to be honest with you, Paul.
Yeah, it's like in the current Liverpool squad, it would probably be, because we've got some very, very good players, have we? It's probably like a Sadio Mane or a, I mean, I'm not saying it is Sadio Mane, but there's someone that you thought was possible. So I'll give you an example. Because they've done that Band-Aid video so many times now. I think there's either three or four versions of it. They did one very recently, which was about that disease when you couldn't touch people or something, scabies or whatever. There was the one where there was one in like the early noughties, which is the one that's arguably dated the most. It's got like busted in and all that kind of stuff. And I couldn't tell you who half the people are. It's got like, is it got a rap from Dizzy Rascal in and stuff like that?
Probably. Sounds like something that
would happen. But there's another 80s version or / early 90s version that's got like Jason Donovan and Kylie Minogue and all that kind of stuff. So you need like those disposable, you know, like how like the memes in there who are so there at the moment. You've got to have them in there, but they'll fade fast. It's probably
like Kleiny.
Well, no, maybe climb, but maybe from a few years ago, it would be like Dom Solanke would be in there because of whatever. Or
Divock Origi could be a shout for that.
In fact, Divock Origi is the shout. Divock Origi's got to go in there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll lash him in there and then pick the rest of yours. News in brief. OVA Ejaria has left Rangers, come back to Liverpool. Bit of an odd one. I heard it mentioned about how he'd had, you know, there was some Rangers forums or whatever that were saying
some
horrible
stuff
about him.
Like, it was pretty disgusting to read, to be honest, some of the stuff that was being said.
No, we don't know if that's
why. Why? No, I've got no idea. All I know is that I've seen that and it was pretty disgusting. In fact, not pretty, it was fucking disgusting, some of the stuff that I'd read on there. But that's not to say that all Rangers fans are like that in any way, shape or form. It might not even have anything to do with it. The fact of the matter is it sounds like he didn't settle.
Which is mad. I mean, Steven Gerrard clearly had a lot of time for him. He's mentioned him a few times. I had a look at him, 28 appearances, 2 goals and an assist, playing predominantly in centre mid as well. I mean, I know we always go on about like when you go out on loans, you need to go and light your league up or whatever, but to go and play in, you know, to hold your own in centre mid, to play a lot, he's playing a lot of football. That'll be a big blow for them, if nothing else, because you're going to have to find someone else to play footy for them, basically.
You're right. The way that I'm kind of looking at the moment is that no manager gets it 100% right 100% of the time. You know, you can think back over the years of players that have played for managers and they've brought them into a new club and it doesn't always work out. The situation has to be right for those type of things to work out. This is probably just the first instance where Steven Gerrard got something wrong. Maybe. He won't be the first manager to do that and he certainly won't be the last manager to do that, will he?
Yeah.
You know, Jürgen Klopp's got an incredible record at Liverpool for the players that he signed, but he still made mistakes along the way.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It just hasn't cost us huge amounts of money. And likewise, this hasn't cost them anything.
But it's mad, isn't it? It's like, because it's not, I don't see how this could fall to Gerrard's feet because he's in, he's playing, and he's pleased with them. That's not, it's not, what I'm saying is, if Ovie Ejaria is not settled, it's not a misstep, is it, by the manager?
I think sometimes you can say that it is, just from the fact that... And then it comes down to the fact that Stevie wasn't in the job long. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes when, like Jürgen Klopp, for example, will look at a player, he'll look at the squad that he's got and he'll try and make sure that the personality fits into that squad. Yeah. Now, Gerrard wasn't at Rangers long enough to
know... But he knows him from Liverpool.
Exactly. But he doesn't know the Rangers squad at the time.
Right.
So you might know him, you might think he'll fit
in. So you're saying he might not fit in with the personality types at Rangers?
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
And so that's how managers make mistakes all the time, isn't it?
And maybe, it could be a host of things, though. It could just be that he thinks, I want to challenge myself at a higher level. It could just be, you know, he might think, well, I'd rather be playing in the Championship or whatever, which is mad, but there you have it. Yeah, it's very, very, very odd. I'll be interested to see what his next move is. Champions League draw was done. We've obviously reacted to this. There's the live draw show, which you can check out on the YouTube channel. There is a reaction show to it as well, a bit more in depth and detail on the redmentv.com. But just top line, Chris, obviously Bayern Munich. I've had a day to think about it. I'm even more excited about this.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. It was a side that, you know, after Porto, I wanted Bayern Munich next. I think they're were arguably one of the easier options. And that's not to say that they'll be pushovers, because they have, I think, with 24 hours to think about it, maybe I was thinking a little bit disrespectfully about them yesterday. Mm-hmm. They are an ageing squad, but they're also professionals that know how to go far in this competition. I just think that Liverpool are better than them at all phases at the moment. Mm-hmm. Defence, midfield, attack. I think we've got the momentum going with us. The fact that we're top in the Premier League now, as it stands. You know, Bayern Munich are on top of their league for the first time in a few years at this stage. And it feels like, as you mentioned on the show yesterday, Paul, you talked about it being a changing of the guard. And I think if you ran with that, we'd probably know that that's the case.
Yeah, I don't think that we're better than them per se. I mean, we'll find out in February, I guess. But I think that... They're about at our level, you know, rather we've now caught up to their level, and it is whether this is that thing of whether the aging squad thing will make a difference, whether we're the young, hungry, vital peak of our powers and they've maybe gone slightly on the wane. Why I like it as a draw is because they're not a European superpower because of the heritage and because they've been there for a number of years. But I don't look at them and I'm not fearful of them. I don't think, like Barcelona, I don't think, oh my God, Leo Messi can just turn up and win a game single-handedly for them. Now, they have got players who can obviously do that, of course, because they've got chock full of brilliant players. But I just feel like it's just a great challenge. I love the challenge of it. I don't feel like Liverpool will go into that feeling like we have to go and do a job. You know, like we were doing in the early days of Klopp, where we go to Man City and we just put a mad formation out and we go out, we change our style of play to try and get a win against them. I feel like we're on a level enough pegging that we can go toe-to-toe with them. We can duke it out, not in like a stupid way, not in like a let's forget all the defensive stuff. We are now defensively solid. We're a solid unit all around, as you're kind of saying. And if we come out on top, then... great. If we don't come out on top, then we won't come out on top, because they're a really good side. We can lose this just as easily as we can win it, but I do feel that we will win it. I feel like we can be confident because we're brilliant. We are a side on the up, and I think it is fair to say, although I think it's been over-egged in some quarters, they're not as good as they were, say, 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, Paul. I think you just have to look at the league table this season, you look at the age of the squad, and you'd probably have to recognise that. The one thing that I loved after the draw more than anything was, did you see that fella on BeIN Sports?
Yeah, I was going to mention this, yes.
How good was it? So just
for those who haven't seen it.
So fella stood outside the stadium in Spain, I don't know whether it was Spain or whatever, it doesn't really make any odds, talking about the one team that every Spanish team wanted to avoid, and that team being Liverpool Football Club. Yeah. And they were like, we don't care who we get as long as we don't get Liverpool Football Club. And you're thinking, this is our phoenix completely risen from the flames now. You know, we managed to get to the Champions League final last season. We're top of the Premier League. And it's funny, isn't it? Because what it made me think is the research notes that we do for those shows. And, you know, yesterday you had in front of us where each team was in the league. Now, you'd think as a fan channel we'd be quite like low down on that, and that's like, you know, but that's probably how Real Madrid and Barcelona were looking at it, and they're going, well, we know how good Man City are, but they're not even top of their league. Like, you know, well, look, you don't want that Liverpool side. They're not even playing well in their top of the league.
Well, this is the thing. Getting to the Champions League final makes a massive difference. And they value that trophy in Spain so highly, of course. It's more so, I think, than the clubs in England do, aside from us, and maybe Man United, of course. You know, it's so much in the DNA of those football clubs the way it is with us. And we're disappointed. I don't think we see Liverpool in context enough because we're so drilled down and so focused on watching us that we don't really get to put us in our rightful place. And it's hard to look at ourselves from the outside in because we are very much in there. We are not just Liverpool fans, but Scousers as well. You know, you live within the city boundaries. It is difficult to even get it from any other perspective. So Real Madrid, as an example, will be looking at us and going, we're not as good as we were last year. Liverpool are better than they were last year, and they gave us a game in that Champions League final. And they're not soft. They'll know that they won it, and they'll be able to look at the scoreline. But they're not stupid. They won't feel as though that was them wiping the floor with us. They will also look at the context of the Salah thing and et cetera, and how close it ended up being ultimately. And same with Barcelona. You know, they'll be looking at the teams that are going to stop them. We've got a lethal strike force, and the thing that Mourinho's mentioned, and we'll talk about Mourinho in a second, by the way, don't worry, the pace, the power, the stamina, the athleticism.
And the technical ability
on top. No one, why on earth would anyone
Did you see the tweet from Andrew Beasley yesterday about the most informed teams in Europe's big five leagues?
Funnily enough, Bailey highlighted it to me yesterday morning.
Right,
yeah.
So he tweeted, then John Gibbons retweeted, said, not only are we top of this, we've also beaten three of the others so far this season, boss the Reds, you know. So shout out to John from the Rap. Liverpool are the most informed team in top five leagues. Then it's Juve, then Dortmund, Napoli are fourth, who we've beaten once. Man City, who we've drawn with, Tottenham, who we've beaten, Real Madrid are 7th, PSG are 8th, who we've beaten, Barca are 9th, and Gladbach are 10th. There's three sides who have won the last six games. That's Liverpool, Juventus, and Borussia Dortmund. So even if they were to just go quickly on whoscored.com, they'd fucking hell Liverpool, lad.
Yeah, cursory researchers at Liverpool would be like, yikes, yeah. No, brilliant, and long may that continue. Christian Pulisic, there's a little thing came out in the week from Spanish source. Apparently, Atletico Madrid asked Borussia Dortmund, like, how much, can we buy him? And apparently he has agreed a deal with an English side already. Perfect. Perfect silly season-style rumour, that case. Just enough in that to whet the appetite.
If internet cafes were still a thing, you'd be fingerprinting the keyboard and you'd come up with Michael Edwards' fingerprints all over that keyboard. It's got it written all over it, hasn't it? It's such an Edwards deal to do. Some shady internet cafe in London somewhere, and then there he is just sending emails off and sorting deals and stuff. I don't think it's true.
No.
I don't think it's Liverpool if it is true.
No.
But there's enough there, isn't there, to whet your appetite?
I think if it's any English club, I think it is Liverpool. Although, you know, obviously Chelsea are the other ones that have been heavily linked with them as well. But, you know, if we base on all the little nuggets and the rumours and the hearsay and conjecture that we've had over the last few weeks or what have you, it is that he would prefer the move to Liverpool. Is that Chelsea have apparently, you know, the story as we've been told it via the media, is that they approached with an undervalued bid. And we're told not only is that not enough money, also he's more interested in joining Liverpool. And then this Atletico thing backs up. Great. We've said this, we've been talking about Pulisic a lot on this podcast in over the last month. Made up. You know, we've said £70 million is far too much money for a lad who hasn't proven that is worth that money. But once again, it's not my money. If Liverpool feel that they can go and start spending that kind of money on talent, and they obviously feel he's good enough because... We're looking at Jadon Sancho right now and just going for 30 million, what an absolute steal. And it was always likely to be a decent value for that player. But still, eyebrows raised, we were still a bit...
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
God, Shaqiri, why are we buying Shaqiri? If Liverpool are buying anyone, it's because they think they're really good, yeah, and because they'll fit in, and yeah, they've got the right mentality and the right attitude, and they've got pace and they've got skill and they've got power. So yes, if Liverpool are the team that apparently, with a pinch of salt, are the team that's agreed with Pulisic, brilliant. Yes, that please. One more last bit of very brief transfer news, Chris. A player we've been linked with a lot this season as well. PSG have apparently come out and admitted that Rabiot will be leaving in the summer, and left the door open for him to be sold in January as well. I must admit, I don't even know if he played against us, if I'm perfectly honest. If he did, I think he played. Definitely played the first game. I didn't notice him.
I was blinded the second, so.
Yeah, you were. I definitely don't ask Aubrey either. I didn't even realise that the second half of the game was still to be played.
That was so good, if you've not seen the vlog.
I wonder, did that
make it in the vlog?
I don't know.
I ask him a question at half time and he's like, no, it's over. I'm like, no, there's literally 45 minutes to go.
If it's not in the vlog, it'll be in the subscriber Christmas special, most certainly, I'm sure. But yeah, I
love you, Aubrey.
Yeah, we love you, Aubrey. I don't feel like we need Rabiot at the moment. I think we might well need him next summer. I think if you could pick him up on a free transfer, and you're looking at a world where Lallana will probably move on. We've talked about this before, Milner will be another year older. A shout.
Yeah, it's one of them where I look at the midfield options and you do look at it and think we've got loads of different types of players, mm-hmm, and some are similar and some are different, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's how you assemble a squad. Yeah. You wouldn't just have players who were exactly the same as other players, and Rabiot gives you that bit different.
And if you could, you can't, because our players are so good that to match the skill set of the guys in our first 11... You're talking about having a £60 million player for twice. Yeah. Two £60 million pound players for every position, which is never going
to
happen.
No. Well, it might do the way we're going, to be fair. Oh, may that continue, by the way. But listen, he's a player who I do like. He does excite me. You know, whenever I've seen him play, I think, oh, yeah. He's just, in the same way that, is it Guendouzi at Arsenal? Mm-hmm. You just watch him. You don't have to watch him for long to realise that there's a player there. And whether he ever fulfils his potential, I don't know. We'll see. But there are players that you've seen over the years and you think there's definitely something.
He is the kind of player that Chelsea buy all the time. Look at Kovacic on loan as an example. They just get these calibre of players in. They are international calibre, European, Champions League experienced players, and they come in and maybe they only play for two seasons and maybe they don't like nail down a first team. They either nail down a first team spot and they're brilliant, or you move them on in 2 years
and
still
forget about them.
Yeah, and you, for like £40 million quid, and you signed, aren't you? So yeah, Liverpool do that.
How's that Leicester midfielder doing? He signed. Have they moved him on yet? Is he still there,
Danny?
Drinkwater.
I think he's still there, isn't he? Bless him. But that's also the sign of an English lad, don't they? Who's not good enough? Who's nowhere near good enough? Steve Sidwell, Scott Parker. Ross Barkley.
The difference between them and United is though that United still play them. Ashley Young.
Let's talk about Manchester United, Chris.
Please. Hang on a second. We're talking about United. I've got to take the old jacket off.
Why?
Just because it was hot.
Oh, right. So I genuinely thought you had like some symbolic T-shirt on underneath or something.
No.
Because they're Vikings. Well, obviously, we were going to talk about the match. We've talked a lot about the match. Yeah, I know, it was a brave move. That we're in that uncomfortable period now where the jacket can be sometimes too much, but a T-shirt is also too little. Yeah, we were going to talk about the match. We've done the final word show that's available on the RedmenTV.com. We did a good hour on there. We've done the inter-match reaction. We'll touch about it. There's a few bits we will touch upon, but the morning we were due to record this podcast, it was announced that Jose Mourinho has been sacked by Manchester United.
By Liverpool.
This is a Liverpool podcast. Yeah, it's right. This is a Liverpool podcast. We've talked a lot about Man United. Here's the thing. Man United are a massive football club and they've been our biggest rivals for 30 years. Mm. So to see Man United be anything less than what they were in the peak years under Alex Ferguson, I just find tremendous.
Glorious.
Absolutely tremendous. I love that graphic I retweeted by the Times, which said it's not a big six anymore. They're actually in a clutch of mid-table sides in terms of their points and goal return.
It's like with West Ham and Wolves and Everton
and Watford and Wolves and all that kind of stuff. Like, so yeah,
glorious,
magnificent. So I am down for reveling in this.
And they won't be down for ever. And that's the thing. So just like we say so often on these shows and the podcast, you know, just enjoy the ride. Mm. Just enjoy it while they're down. Kick them while they're down for a little bit. Absolutely. Because it won't last forever. They've got too much money for it to last forever.
Laying in the boot to us. And as is their right, by the way, and this is what gets lost in this banter culture thing, as though, look, it swings and roundabouts, you know, because we've, and it, but I mean, they're due to get their comeuppance. Yeah, and they've had a bit of a barren spell. And in that spell, of course, they've won the Europa League and they won the League Cup as well, the season after we failed to do both of those things.
Won the FA Cup as well, didn't they?
Maybe, yeah. Oh, Van Gaal won the FA Cup, didn't he? So they've been ticking along. But as we've been saying, I've been saying this for fucking yonks, you're a long time without a title. Jose Mourinho was bought in as a Hail Mary, a last-ditch effort to get that Premier League title because he didn't suit them. His mentality, his attitude, everything about him stinks and it's not Manchester United at all. His brand of football, nothing about him said he was a natural fit for that club apart from the fact that he's a winner and they've placed so much emphasis on the silverware side of thing, which is fair, which is their right. Maybe Liverpool should have done a bit more of that in over the years.
Should have.
But the point is, when you value the silverware above all else, this is what gets you into this situation at times. You start playing ludicrous money for players that don't fit your system because you think that the names are going to get you there. You get the wrong fit of manager, and it's that club is absolutely rotten, and it's fucking brilliant.
It's fantastic. I was telling you this morning, wasn't I, that I had this like thought on the way here and how I came through the doors bouncing. It was before Mourinho got sacked, and I'd had a tough morning with the kids. They'd not been well and stuff like that. And I get in the car, and this thought just pops into my head, and it was literally just, I wonder if Sir Alex Ferguson lies awake at night wondering if he'll ever see Manchester United win another title in his lifetime. And it filled me up like I was sucking his life force out of him, and I just bounced into the office. And this is before Mourinho got sacked, and you know, United fans might say the same thing about Kenny Dalglish. You know what I mean? And that's just the way that it is. But it didn't half make me happy because I'm not sure that he will.
Yeah.
And he might have a very long life, and hopefully he does have a very long life, yeah, and hopefully Man United still don't win a league title. Just before I go back to you, it's the risk-reward thing of the Mourinho, and I think that's what you were kind of getting at before, is that, you know, there was a risk of this happening with Mourinho coming in, but the reward was as close to a guaranteed league title as any other manager in world football.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now there was no reward. There was only risk, because it's evidence that they were nowhere near winning the league.
Well, it's like the Wenger thing, isn't it? It's all well and good. Those trophies are fine. Like, and you can't take that away from the fans. You know, I'd have given anything for us to win that Europa League final against Sevilla. You know, what a trip that would have been. And similarly, the Champions League final last season and the League Cup in between, or prior to all of it. But as you see, and as we've seen, since we last won a league title, we've won everything. Apart from the Cup Winners' Cup, we've won every other trophy you can win, sometimes on multiple occasions, and we've been close to winning the others as well. It hasn't sated our hunger. It's just, we're not happy with the football. We're happier than we've ever been, but not having that league title, it's the league title that makes it all worthwhile. So we have those moments of great stories and great songs and great you know, DVD
memories,
collections
as well,
from seasons. You know, that treble season was as good as anything ever. But I'd have swapped the treble season. I'd have swapped all three of them trophies for the league title. I would have done, you know, and we would have done on every single one of those trophies. We'd have swapped a lot of the time. We'd have probably swapped some of them to be in a proper challenge,
yeah,
and come close to a title. So, the one thing, just going back to the Ferguson thing, I hope that Alex Ferguson lives long enough to see us knock Man United back off our perch.
Oh yes,
just to see his life's work undone. Just two league titles, even just to bring us back to parity. Just so we can say 20 league titles and 5 European Cups, and that might be more by that point for us as well, by the way. You know, just so we can go, he worked, he put the best years of his life into getting Man United on top.
And it wasn't enough.
And then he goes away and it all just crumbles and he gets to sit and watch that knowing there's absolutely nothing he can do.
It's
about
fantastic.
Delicious.
It'll be all his fault as well.
Yeah.
Because he picked Moyes.
He's got Alex Ferguson's got the same thing that Kenny Dalglish has got though, hasn't he? In that it's all Kenny Dalglish's fault that Liverpool fell off a cliff because he left Souness with an aging squad and you know and what have you. He left at a good time, as it were. Not really, not given the context and the history and all the stuff around it at the time, of course. But, you know, Souness gets all the blame for Liverpool falling apart the same way that Moyes gets all the blame for Man United falling apart. Ferguson knows,
mad because, you know, I look back at those last few years of Ferguson, a lot's been written about it now and how he wasn't the coach anymore and he was obviously the manager, but he was not the coach anymore, and he'd always surrounded himself with good people, and you'd think there would have been some kind of progression plan going on there, but unfortunately for him, it never ever happened.
Well, it's because Moyes came in and cleaned house, didn't he? He was advised.
But you have to, though, and that's exactly what Souness had to do as well.
Well, no, but that's where Souness went wrong as well, is that you're changing too much too soon.
And how many managers, there's so many cases of managers that have done that over the years, but the fact of the matter is, Ferguson was somehow able to eke out this performance because of the manager and the coach that he was ultimately from these lads that probably weren't good enough anywhere else to win league titles.
Maybe.
And you need that strength of character to be able to carry it over. And whether it's Souness or whether it's David Moyes, they didn't have that strength of character and they didn't make the right decisions.
Yeah.
But they were given an aging squad and they were given the tools to change the culture. Now, changing too much too soon is always going to be a difficult thing to do.
Where Moyes fell down was the change. He was offered the chance to keep the backroom staff and he was advised to keep the backroom. And that's what Ferguson picked him, that's what he wanted. He wanted to just plug him in the top because that way you've got another guy there. He's been given like the order because he's got the big contract, but everything else carries on. He's a bit of a figurehead and he can, you know, come in and do a few bits and pieces. Whereas he's like, no, I'm going to do my own thing. And he brought in a bunch of substandard coaches.
But that's what managers are. They're all egotists at the end of the day, who at some point, listen, you can have a laugh at Moyes' career and stuff. I think he's had a pretty stellar career up until Manchester United for what he was able to do with the resources that he was given. But he got where he is on the strength of that backroom staff. So, of course, you can have belief in yourself and your team. It was misplaced in the end.
Absolutely. But exactly. But this is the thing, isn't it? That's where they've both gone wrong. Is that feeling that you can come in and I've made it. I know all the answers. Whereas what you should be doing is insulating yourself because it was.
You get another try if you tie it with Ferguson stuff.
Exactly.
You get another roll of the dice. You say, I've done it your way. Now you've got to let me do it my way.
Look at Brendan Rodgers as an example. This at us. Is that okay? He only bought himself a few more months in the job, but he threw his coaching staff to the wolves to just give himself that one more spin, and then ultimately it never worked out for him, of course. But you can do that. You can use other people as the fall guy. Mourinho's become very, very good at doing that over the years as well. And I can't think of a more deserving man than to be, you know, sacked unceremoniously once again. You know, and I love the fact that all that stuff that he was doing about the three titles stuff has now been used. How many times he's been sacked from the Premier League? Because he's an absolute gobshite, Chris. And I must admit, I would love to interview Mourinho. He's on my bucket list of you know, people I'd love to sit down with properly and get a real measure of. But he does it himself. He's not adapted, and he's still using the same old shtick of like being spiky and it's worked. You know, it's probably kept him a little bit longer than most. Exactly. And I look at those celebrations. The new Southampton boss, the one from Leipzig. They scored the late winner against Arsenal, and he's running around and celebrating and all that kind of stuff. And I know maybe that'll have its day. And it always does because everything goes in cycles in footy. And maybe having like that calm reserve, maybe like the time of the Wenger will come round again, or the time of the Houllier, or the time of the Mini, when you need to have an absolute fucking egotistical arsehole come back in again. But right now, where we're at is excited managers, passionate managers, people who love football, yeah, who love the sport, they love the beauty of it all. These guys are getting their turn. And Mourinho, I say, he's
It is cyclic, you're right. It will come back around again, I'd imagine. But I look at the disconnect between fans and the football clubs at the moment, and that's why I feel that those type of managers are working. You know, footballers themselves have never been further away from the working man who goes to the game. So to have someone who's almost that in between, who for all the success that they've had in their life, is just as passionate as a fan, and yet so much cleverer and so much more knowledgeable about football. It's someone that you can look at and go, I'm so glad this man is leading that club. It's why the likes of Andy Robertson are revered at Liverpool right now. It's why the likes of Dirk Kuyt have been over the years, because we can see something of them in ourselves.
Yeah.
And it makes it so much easier to support a club with a manager like that.
Just getting back to the match then, because, I mean, a lot's being made of, like, Mourinho and United are the story there. We are levels above Manchester United at the moment, and it's borne out quite obviously in terms of the points tally and what have you. 19 points, I think, better off than them, which is just amazing. It shouldn't be underestimated that this is where we're at. This is a club. When we looked at it last season, and we felt we were the second best team in the Premier League last year, even though we finished fourth. And again, it comes back to this, like the trophies argument. It's like, but look at the league table. Look, they are fine. Great. If you genuinely felt Man United were that good, great. Fair fucks to you. If you genuinely enjoyed the ride, genuinely felt you were the second best team, that's great. We knew Liverpool were better than the league position told us. We obviously lost points for the Champions League run, basically, in rotation and what have you. But to make that big a leap, I don't think we're getting enough credit for it.
No, and we're not, and Klopp's not getting enough credit for it. You know, there's fellas, we talked about it before, the clubs in Spain are shitting themselves about Liverpool now, because they know that with a manager like Klopp and the players that we've got and everybody pulling in the same direction, this club will be back at the pinnacle of world football again. It's something we said straight after that Europa League defeat a few years ago. It's something that we said straight after the Champions League defeat, because you can see it coming, because we watch this every single week and we understand that we're moving in the right direction. But ultimately, the job that Pep Guardiola's done at Man City has been unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But it's not been as good a job as Klopp's doing at Liverpool right now, because the gap was 25 points. I think it was 11 at this point last season. Mm-hmm. And so there's a 12-point swing there, isn't there?
Yeah. Paul Tompkins has pointed this out a lot, and he does a lot of phenomenal stuff. Everyone who listens and watches this should know about Paul Tompkins. If not, get onto the TompkinsTimes.com, because it's absolutely quintessential, you know, reading if you want to be a Liverpool fan. But he talks about the value of squads and the big thing about that on the City Guardiola Liverpool Klopp thing, it's what Guardiola inherited that gets overlooked as well. Because it's all well and good, because you can go, well, no, he has done a better job because he's won the league title. And it's like, well, yeah. He inherited a spine of Aguero, David Silva. Exactly, Fernandinho company. And okay, the goalkeeper thing that he's had to make massive changes to, fine.
Had they were a year removed from winning the title, that Man City side. They were a year removed.
He inherited the best striker in the Premier League.
Yeah. And the best centre back.
And when you look
at one of the best midfielders.
And the best creative midfielder. And when you look at what teams need in order to be a top team, having a guy who can stick the ball in the net, minimum 20 goals a season centre forward, is an absolute essential. You cannot win a league title without a 20 goal a season centre forward. Look at the Man United thing, Robin van Persie. They bought the title by buying Robin van Persie. Look at 13-14, we had Suarez and we had Sturridge as well. Chelsea finished third that season because they had a handful of strikers who weren't quite at that level. And what did they do that summer?
Addressed that issue.
They went and bought Diego Costa.
And Fabregas.
And provided, bought goals and assists and went and steamrolled the title the next season. That's what he's inherited. And what Liverpool inherited was a bunch of misfits. You know, like a mismatch of committee transfer buys and Brendan Rodgers digging his heels in transfer buys. No joined up thinking in how we were doing transfers. I mean, my God, look at what Marco Silva's done in one summer at Everton in terms of just having a bit of joined up thinking in what your team does. If you plugged if you plugged Romelu Lukaku from two seasons back into that Everton side, they'd be challenging for maybe not the title, but they'd definitely be challenging top four.
Yeah, you're right.
Without doubt.
That's how important a striker is, isn't it? It's unbelievable, and I say it again, he has not got enough credit for the job that he's doing.
Yeah, and because again, I think there's still this notion of it's all for
and he won't until he gets trophies.
Well, exactly.
You know what? People might be right on that.
Kind of fair, again, kind of fair play, because There's no point in being
the second best team.
There's no point in this being the best.
We're not striving to be the second best team, though, are we?
No, but that's the difference, and that's why I keep saying this. If Liverpool fall short this season, if we continue on this vein of form, but let's say we lose at the Etihad, which is entirely possible, and then that's the point difference. Come the end of the season, it's literally we all win every game apart from that game that they win, and they win the league. It will be absolutely devastating. But we've said it before, you know, that it should never be underestimated.
I'll still take solace in the fact that we would have probably won the league 26 out of 27 times. I won't, really, because it will still be heartbreaking.
Absolutely not at all, because it was no consolation in 08-09, 13-14.
Exactly, but there is the next year.
But we are...
And there's the next year.
But we're at a level here, Chris.
We're keeping on going, we'll keep on going.
The level we are playing at right now is... It's in the clutch of the best teams ever to play in England.
Yeah.
Like, that's the form we're on right now. Like, it's astonishing. And once again, it's being overlooked. And because I think everyone kind of expects it to drop off and City just to naturally walk the way to the title. And you know what? Again, on the law of averages, if you looked at the bookmakers' odds and all that kind of stuff, that's probably what will happen, because that's how it should happen. Because Man City have got... the bigger squad, the more expensively assembled squad, the bigger wage was, all this kind of... They've got everything going for them that says that this is... They haven't got
Andy Robertson.
No. But they are... It's not quite this way, but they are like seeded to win the league effectively, because that's the bracket that they are in. It's a disappointment. If they don't win the league, then that's an underperformance based on the how they are ranked in terms of all the metrics that you measure these things by. If Liverpool do it, would be a massive overachievement, and that's the thing about it, is that we should be marvelling at what we're doing here, because we are at an absolute elite standard.
And it's fantastic.
And so far, so much better than Manchester United, the long way that continue. Right, we're going to talk Wolves in a second. Before we do, very, very last shout, last chance to enter our Redmen TV Christmas Hamper competition. We pushed this last week on Freeview Week. If you subscribe to the RedmenTV.com, you enter the competition to win this. It's that time of year again for all our wonderful subscribers on the RedmenTV.com. It is the Christmas Hamper competition, chock full of Redmen TV Christmas sweatshirt, scarves, a Pro Evolution Soccer game, a Kevin Keegan book, signed print, and a whole hell of a lot more. All you've got to do to be in with a chance of winning that is sign up to the RedmenTV.com. It's available to new and existing subscribers alike. And in addition to that, of course, you get amazing content the whole year through.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Yes, so much amazing stuff in there. We're just too good. We're too good to you guys. Listen, you know, for our subscribers, we say this time and time again, thank you to everyone who watches and who listens to the free content, the stuff that we put out on Acast, the stuff that we put out on YouTube, the stuff we put on Facebook, etc., etc., etc. But it is the people who subscribe to the website who make all of this possible, and they are the most important people to us. They subscribe. It's £5 a month to subscribe, and we don't just say give £5 a month. And look, you know, there are media outlets who maybe do that kind of thing. You know, people like to support, you know, homegrown content that they like, and that's fine. But we try to give value. We try to make sure that we don't just you know, go with our cap in hand. You know, please give us some money. No, we give you.
I'd happily
hours.
Do that, by the way.
Oh, it'd be loads easier, Chris. Loads easier. But we don't. We give you hours upon hours of content in video form, in podcast form, and as mentioned time and time again, you can now get all that, the podcast versions of everything we do, in your native app. So if you're on iOS, you can get it in iTunes. If you're on Android, you can get it in the likes of Pod Addict and Stitcher,
Overcast, and all that type of stuff.
All of that kind of stuff. So you use your logins to get through that. So if you want to listen to it on the go, you can. If you want to have it on desktop, you can. We've upgraded, so it's much easier now to watch on things like PS4 and etc.
And the best thing is, it's not just me and you on every show.
No, it's not. So if you fucking hate us,
there's still stuff for you.
I wouldn't do if it wasn't for you two pricks. Then, you know, we've got the girls doing the Liverpool Women's podcast. We've got the Around the League podcast. There's Ross, Ben and Bailey getting stuck in with that. Si and Tom have got the Man of the Match podcast that they do after every single...
Steve hosts the Reds News Roundup. I interview a journalist or an influencer every week about Liverpool, and we do the stats and tactics.
Absolutely. So, yeah, every element covered. And just for subscribing, just for being one of those many subscribers that we love so much, you're automatically entered into the competition to win that hamper as well. So, yeah, it's chock full of brilliant stuff. And just
definitely
a little
deserve
thank
the five-minute advert.
Absolutely.
Definitely. It's that good.
Absolutely. Look, you know, again, just nice to give something back. We don't get do too many opportunities because we're so barreling down this straight towards the end of the season once it kicks off. And
number 19.
Yeah, why not? So, Wolves, Chris, it's the first game of the weekend. Liverpool have in front of them a chance to make our Christmas absolutely perfect.
I'm so nervous about this game now. You know, I haven't been nervous about many games this season, actually. I think I remember getting particularly nervous before the PSG game, but I think that was the alcohol-induced. This is the Premier League game that I think I've been nervous for since maybe City or Chelsea.
Chelsea away is the last time I've genuinely felt sick in my stomach about a game. And I'll be honest, I don't share that feeling for this, by the way, but carry on.
It's the unknown quantity of it for me. I know Wolves have got some tremendous players. I can't believe we went through a build-up show without actually mentioning Ruben Neves by name. Because
he got mentioned.
Did he?
You said something about him hitting a steward in the head.
That must have been literally the last part of the show then, because, you know, he probably warrants a few minutes. I mean, he's been a revelation this season. He was a guy who I thought was a little bit too green at the start of the season. Mm-hmm. I thought he'll have those moments and he'll score good goals and stuff, but can he do it for 38 games in the league season? So far, he's proved me completely an idiot, just like many footballers down the years. But there's still that unknown quantity for me. So until I see how Liverpool start the game, 15 minutes in, I'll probably be quite calm because Liverpool hopefully will have taken control of the game. But it's all been in our own hands. You know, putting that pressure on Manchester City is a real sort of bonus with the game being a Friday night, and having sort of 5 days to prepare for a game as well. Klopp's normally magnificent when he has that time to prepare.
Yeah.
Wolves come off the back of a few tough games as well, although they're in good form. I think Liverpool will win, but I am nervous about it.
Yeah, I will be when it gets closer to it and the reality of it all kind of hits me. But at the minute, I look at the form we're in, and I'm confident that we can win this in a number of ways. You know, if it's one of them where it was just them throwing themselves on the line to try and fight or die, get a point, do whatever.
You mean like Dulwich Hamlet did at the weekend?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you see that?
Amazing.
My days, sign that number two up now.
Yeah. Funnily enough, it's the anniversary of us going to watch Dulwich Hamlet. It was like a couple of days ago, and there was clips that showed up on my Facebook on this day of the Dulwich Hamlet goalkeeper making worldy after worldy.
He was superb. I got a selfie with him after the game. Like,
you did.
He was a superb keeper. Him.
The
let's call him Bob.
Sure, Bob was magnificent. But yeah, the Liverpool, if we have to use all 94, 5, 6 minutes, then I think, I'm confident that we'll find a way to get the result. But equally, we've started to click as well.
And question I can see us. Question for you.
Go on.
What 15-minute segment of the game have we scored most of our Premier League goals in?
Is it the... Oh, shit. You know what?
We scored 11 goals, but after the 75th minute. That is the second.
That would have been me. Yeah. So,
how many substitute goals have we scored this season?
It's either 5 or 8.
8.
Yeah.
4 to win a game and 1 late draw against Chelsea.
Sturridge, yeah. That's what we've got. We've got that in us. That's our worst case scenario, and we're dead good at it, which is great. But I also think that we're just as capable. You know, this could be one of those games. We can go either way, where I'd be like, just get on the ball, feel the game off for 45 minutes and we'll score it. We'll either score late first half or we'll score early second half and then we'll kick on. Or we'll just go out and have it 1.5 an hour. I just think we've got both of those options available to us at the moment. And I'm fully not asked which one. And so much that just comes down to
I am asked in one game over the Christmas period that we do it a different way. Correct.
Yeah.
Because they're shit first half and really good second half. That's the only game I'm going, come out the blocks fast, Liverpool. Because actually, if you break the segments down, those 15-minute segments, 0 to 15 and 45 to 60, we don't score. They're our least scored in 15-minute segments. We get better at the back end of halves, more so at the back end of games, because we're rotating our squad, we're using substitutes really well, we're stronger, fitter, faster than most of these teams, and we tire them out. And not only that, we've got the patience to do it. I was watching that Manchester United game back yesterday, Paul, and 50 minutes into the game, we're passing the ball around midfield, and I'm like, fucking hell, my memories of the game were shooting from distance, and that all happened. But you see Wijnaldum and Fabinho picked the ball up. They're not rushing to get the ball up the field. And that shows you the level of growth that this side has, because they know that our quality will shine through eventually, and they'll tire sides and they'll beat sides, and there's no need to rush to win a game of football anymore.
Brilliant in the first half hour of the Man United game, and it's kind of been a bit overlooked, because we tend to remember the flat period after they equalise and us getting to that point where we kind of ran out of ideas and started taking pot shots. How we approached that game was a bit of a cross between the best of last season and the best of this season. Was we went at them. We tried to cause them problems. We tried to get in the box, try little balls over the top. We tried clever interplay and what have you, stretching it from every different angle. And we actually got the break. We got a breakthrough goal. But if we hadn't, we also then had the ability to, as you say, get our foot on the ball and go, okay, cool.
How many shots did Man United have on target in the second half? Zip.
Yeah. And
this is the Mourinho, remember, that said we scored when they were controlling the game.
Yeah.
No, they weren't. Yeah. They didn't have a shot.
They were controlling the game in his weird world, where if we're not winning, they're controlling it, because that's their job. But that's his mission, is to stop us us winning.
So which I'm laughing at, because his whole philosophy is wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm confident Liverpool can do this in a host. I do feel as though, again, we've talked about this on the build-up show, but Wolves have had tremendous results against all of our big rivals in the league so far, you know, particularly the draws against Man City, beating Chelsea. So they shouldn't be underestimated, but I'm so confident about this game. I really feel like we're going to go into this one and just go and flex on us. I just think we're just very oiled. We're very, you know, I use this analogy a lot of the time, but when you go on a long walk, or you go on a hike, or you run or whatever, that, you know, the first 15 minutes is just pain, while your body just goes,
and then you're doing it and you're not thinking about it.
And once your muscles start working and you warm up, you're in your flow. And I feel like that's where we are right now. The one that slightly concerns me a little bit, and equally, I can make a case both ways, is Boxing Day, is Newcastle, and just being Rafa.
And Rafa's started to Rafa teams again as well the last month or so, hasn't he? I mean, he's just won manager of the month, hasn't he?
We needed Oxlade-Chamberlain in that game last season. He was pivotal to how we broke them down, and him not being there means that, I mean, I'm more comforted by having the likes of Shaqiri and Keita available, which means that we do have a few more options, of course, but we tend to be really good on Boxing Days. We tend to perform quite well. We had some great results down the years on Boxing Day. So
did we beat Leicester 2-1 when they won the league that season? Was
And we beat.
And they were steamrolling teams at the time as well. Like, yeah. And even then,
we smashed Swansea last year, didn't we? And that kind of stuff. So yeah, more of that, please, would be absolutely amazing. But that's the thing. You know, we talk about it again on the build-up show. I just want to be top at Christmas. You know, all the fact that Liverpool are the only team that to be top and not win it can be damned, because ultimately, eventually,
you'd still rather be top at Christmas than fifth.
I'd rather be top, like, and just be top. And what we're playing for in this Wolves game, and this is why it's a different kind of pressure, of course, is that we're playing for the possibility that we could not just be top, that we could be 4 points clear at top. And I expect nothing from Crystal Palace, and that's the best way to be. Yeah. Is to expect Man City to trounce absolutely everyone.
Yeah, I'm with you
on
that.
Whilst it exists in the realms of possibility, don't hang any hope on it, don't waste any money on it, but just know that that is just, I equate it to one of my best Christmases ever. Was must have been Christmas 95, I got a PS1, and all I asked for was my PS1, and I wanted Tekken, and I got a PS1 and Tekken, and I was just deliriously happy. And then I went down and I opened my stocking, and FIFA 96 was in there, and it was like, it was the best. That was the best Christmas ever. And that would be that. There's a possibility that Crystal Palace Man City could be our FIFA 96 year. And that's all we really want. But no, what we want is Liverpool to win and continue like that, and that would be great. Questions, Chris, we've got a few here.
Leads quite nicely into this question.
Fad Bashir asks, describe your perfect Christmas gift in 3 words.
The league title.
Premier League champions. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Failing that, next gen console is often up there as well.
Another European Cup.
Nintendo Switch bundle. yeah, absolutely. Let us know your perfect Christmas gift in 3 words in the comments underneath for that. Niall Kavanagh.
Naked wife.
What?
With no kids around. That would be another one.
Naked kidless wife.
I mean, she doesn't have three words, mate. She had before the kids, but if she wants to, why the hell not?
Yeah. Impromptu children's babysitter. Niall Kavanagh. Pepe, it feels weird saying that. I'm used to saying Pepe Reina, but no, Pepe, Portuguese and international former Real Madrid, has asked to cancel his contract at Besiktas due to the club's financial problems. Also paid some of the wages to staff too. Would anyone take him at Liverpool? This was actually in the Red Men subscribers group on Facebook. It wasn't specifically for this, but I didn't see any other situation for us to talk about, and I quite liked it as a question. My immediate reaction, Chris, was no, fuck him. However, we are facing down the possibility that if we were to pick up one more injury to centre-halves, we're then entering into, like, mad, you're having to play someone you don't want to play at centre-half, territory. Pepe, I mean, he's mid-30s. He's won absolutely everything. He's a massive gobshite, but he would be our gobshite.
No, I'm still at the nah, fuck him, to be honest with you. And I could understand why people would want him. That's certainly, I just don't dislike him too much for that. I know he's a born winner, isn't he? He's won the Euros as well with Portugal and stuff. But it's a long-term project, this. It's not like, I don't think Klopp goes and signs a centre-half, because I think ultimately you might have two centre-backs for maybe 2 weeks. Yeah. That's it, you know what I mean? And it's not like Klopp to roll the dice on something like that. I think, you know, we saw Nat Phillips in pre-season, and we saw how good a pre-season he had. You know, you sign him, we don't have any League Cup football. Maybe Nat Phillips deserves to get a few games this season.
The issue we've had with them, and it's Nat Phillips and Connor Masterson, have just been injured all season. Or had long spells out for this, is that they've not played any footy. My thing on the Pepe, and it doesn't have to be Pepe, but if you look around at it, we might pick someone up on loan. Is the thought? You know, I don't think we're going to go and buy someone. We're not going to go and buy. I saw it mentioned in one of the comments on the subscribers group again. Nathan Ake. What's the point? What's the point of going and buying Nathan Ake? For a start, I don't think Bournemouth would sell him. But also, he's very good. I like him. I think he's very, very talented. But he's prime age. We don't need to buy a lad who we're going to sign down to a 5-year contract because of everything you've said there. Pepe is, you could get him on a, he's clubless. you could pick him up to the end of the season.
Is he that good with the ball at his feet? I can't really remember. I seem to remember him as a blood and guts style defender. I think Klopp would rather put his faith into the people that are already here.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of with Klopp on that one.
Plenty
you know
of examples
mean?
Of it. Yeah. But like, I mean, but what I mean is, if we're entering into a world where we let's say we do the hypothetical situation
so
where
Lovren's
we're
injured and we've just got Van Dijk,
or we just got one. But let's just say Klopp does want to boss him because he said himself it's a possibility. Why, and I'm saying it doesn't have to be him, and you don't have to agree with me by any stretch. It's just that it's not something I considered. But when your options are, you go and get another. What was the name of that lad we got on loan a few
Corker.
Years ago? You go and get a Stephen Corker on loan, or you go and buy someone. You move your timetable up 6 months and buy someone that you were going to buy in the summer for big dough instead, or whatever. As far as it goes, without having to consider all the truly drilled out into the meantime of whether he would or would not be good, you could do far worse than have a Pepe on your books for half a season.
You could, but my thing with him would be come in for a month. 1 month.
Okay.
See
how many red cards you pick
up. I don't need anyone for longer. I don't think we all need anyone for longer, ultimately. And then what have you done to him? To be fair to him, he seems actually like quite a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, actually, if you're willing to do that for Besiktas and pay some of the staff and all that type of stuff, I don't want to really fuck you over at this point. I think you've done a really genuinely good thing.
Yeah.
We're going to need you for a month, lad, max.
Yeah.
So come in for a month, yeah. Sounds if you want. I'd rather have Raggy back, to be perfectly honest with you. I loved a bit of Raggy, like.
Yeah.
What's he doing now?
He's probably. I actually don't know.
Get him a league title.
Caldini sent him to, wasn't he? We sold him to, yeah. Srijith Srinivasan.
Nice.
Says yes. You have to recast the first Home Alone film with current Liverpool players. Have you done this?
Yeah.
Cool. Who do you pick and why? Who's Kevin?
Bobby.
Okay. I went Moreno.
Thought you might.
Yeah, because he's just a little scamp, isn't he?
Yeah, but mine's a really lovable fool, isn't he? And Bobby Firmino.
Okay,
I don't know. Moreno's got a little bit of that to him. Marv's Matip.
Yeah, and Harry.
Moreno.
Ooh, see,
I think he'd make a great Harry.
I went Lovren and Matip for Harry and Marv.
Nice, okay, I like
because
that.
Because they're just, I don't.
You need a small and a big, though.
Well, they're just a bit bumbling.
You need a small and a big.
They're both just a bit.
Imagine Moreno's hair getting fucking burnt off in both films. It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? And then diving into the snow and Matip going up the steps on the ice and Moreno getting the M for Moreno on his hands.
Yeah, definitely.
Which
okay,
was for
yeah.
McAllister. Is it Gus? Was John Candy?
I don't know, but yeah, go ahead.
Lovren. I feel like he's going to be a real big part of this story.
Okay,
Peter, who's the dad, Peter McAllister.
The father.
Yeah. God. Buvach.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Kate is his mum, isn't it? Klopp.
Yeah.
Love that. I love him. Buzz is Virgil, because I think he'd make a really great like 90s bully Virgil
who's,
if you wanted him
who's
to.
Who's Fuller?
Trent.
So, don't give him too much coke and he'll wet the bed.
Yeah.
Wow. I must admit, I didn't go too depth on it. I literally had them three plus. I had the snowplow man as Klopp.
Because
clearly, if you didn't know him, you'd think he was terrifying. But he's obviously got a good heart at heart. Anymore?
No, that was all of them.
Brilliant. Alad Owen. Favourite Christmas song? I suggest you watch Corey Taylor's Xmas before you answer.
I didn't watch that.
I didn't do this, so you know what? Let's just do it.
Okay.
Let's do this right now. I wonder if it's on Spotify.
It'll be on YouTube.
Well, I mean, it'll definitely be on YouTube because it's full of shite, isn't it? Like
this.
But yeah, Corey Taylor. Oh, he's got his own personal page. Oh, hang on. Hang on, this might be explicit. This is explicit.
That's not funny. Are
you gonna turn it off?
Those carolers have kept me up for hours. It's Merry Christmas seeping through my walls.
Yeah, that shit.
That's I suggest you don't make suggestions anymore.
Yeah, Alan's get in the bin. Favourite Christmas song?
Fairytale New York.
Yeah, of course. Brilliant. Well, let us know your favourite Christmas song in the comment section underneath. We are doing the bonus Q&A, the subscriber exclusive Q&A. So if you want more of this, there are some great, a lot of Christmas themes in this one.
If you had to have penises for fingers with no dexterity and the occasional awkwardness in public, or a thick squid legs from the knees down with suckers and all that, what would you have?
Yeah, and also if you want to find out which Liverpool player we've lined up with, which reindeer, apparently they have personality traits and skills, which was provided to us by Tim Cortai, and a whole host of other Christmas themes and general Liverpool questions, then go over to theredbentv.com, sign up. If the Christmas hamper wasn't enough, if all the amazing content wasn't enough, us chatting absolute shite in a general Christmas theme should be more than enough for you, so get over there.
So more of the same,
yeah? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, give it a 5-star rating, the podcast, if you're watching or listening on a podcast app. Didn't even bang. We'll do more of that. If you want to find out what the Christmas joke was, hey, I got a yo-yo. Stay tuned.
I've got a ruler
for the Q&A. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas, one and all, and walk on.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.